powered by SID Media.
It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
30 minutes after 2, just turns 29 minutes now before 3, which means it's time for us to do our lesson study. And we do have Dr. Oscar Moloa on the line to catch up with yesterday's lesson and today's lesson. Yesterday's lesson was on the judgment that has come, and today's lesson is on the good news of the most holy place. And this is all in the context of the light from the sanctuary lesson, which we're dealing with in the entirety of the verse of the week, rather. Dr. Oscar Moloa, good afternoon to you. Welcome back, and thank you very much for agreeing to teach us this week.
Good afternoon, and how are you?
I'm well, thank you very much, Doctor. Appreciate your time. Let's just run through it, because we have 15 minutes now to dissect these two lessons. So jump in, take us through these two. Go ahead.
All right. We're looking at the sanctuary, and with the backdrop of light from the sanctuary as the main theme that we're carrying in this week's lesson. And we did give an introduction the other day we met. So today we're looking at the good news from the most holy place. We'll also talk a bit about the judgment. Okay, why judgment, you might ask? And many Christians, and probably not so quite sure about other religions, but many Christians believe that this world is going to come to an end at some point, yes? And many believe there's going to be some sort of judgment. All right. And I think the vast majority believe that the judgment is going to come at the very end. Okay. And so everyone is really waiting for that time of judgment. Mm. But the thing about the sanctuary is that it actually highlights that judgment begins even before the coming of Christ.
Right, right.
All right. And that's why theme is light from the sanctuary. You are no longer in the dark. You now know what is really happening. You are more like behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Okay. And so the question then is what happens when you know you're under scrutiny or you're in judgment? Do you want to leave anyhow, or you want to leave somehow? All right. So if you know that you are under judgment, or you're in an examination class, as it were, you are going to leave in a particular way, because you know that after that judgment, what comes next is execution of a sentence, right? So you receive a reward or a damnation, all right? Mm. And so when we enter into when we read the last book of the Bible, that's Revelation, we are told in chapter 14, says an angel was seen flying in mid-air, carrying the everlasting gospel, and to every tongue, kindred, and people, saying, fear God and worship him, for the hour of his judgment is come, as the version say, has come, in the present tense, to suggest that there's some form of investigation going on. Mm. Now, judgment does not just come abruptly, but they must investigate your case. And you know, the beauty about judgment with God is that he is not trying to prove that you are not his, or you're not worthy of heaven.
Right, right.
He is trying to prove that you are actually his, to the what, to the vast throngs that be. Remember, there are powers in high places and things like that.
Right.
Okay. A friend of mine is a magistrate, and like I was complaining to him, and like many others as well, discussing, we're saying, look, we've seen a lot of people that we think deserve to be imprisoned behind bars. Why is it that you guys are not just, you know, in a first sitting, and you thrash them in prison?
Mm.
And he made one very important point. He says, look, the law is not there to have hundreds of people behind bars.
Right.
As the courts, we are trying as much as possible to make sure that as many as are innocent are let go.
Right.
And so we may even drag the process so that we do not leave not even a chance of sending an innocent person in what?
Right.
In jail behind bars. And so for you, an onlooker might think that guy stole, that guy did what? Did that. Okay. But then for us, our job is to make sure that even where it looks to the public that he stole, we are there to make sure that even what appears so vividly in such a manner, we are to make sure that it is as it is. Otherwise, we're supposed to let him go. Right. And God's work really is to, even while the world, even while Satan comes and condemns, remember the Bible says in the accuser of the brethren, God is there to say, look, yeah, he's done so, he's done such and such things, but my blood has paid for his sins.
Right, right.
Okay, my blood has atoned for his sins. And so the question, therefore, in the judgment, in the sanctuary service, is that, look, yes, you have sinned, but then where is your sin?
Right.
Your sin has been placed upon Christ. He has taken what? Your sin.
Okay.
Okay? And so the judgment is not so much about finding out who has sinned, but finding out whose sin has been what? Covered.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
And really, that's the judgment. It's about proving who has Christ's blood on them.
Okay.
And so then, therefore, it goes that whoever does not have Christ's blood on them, then really, it is a matter of them rejecting the only way of salvation.
Right.
And that's really the judgment. So the issue then becomes to us now living in our day-to-day life, what am I to do about this? Okay.
Mm.
And that is now accepting Christ as our Lord and personal Savior and accepting even to follow his way. Remember that we shall know them by their fruits. As Christ reigns in us, our fruits shall begin to show. That's why Christ says, disciples, you are my friends if you keep my commandments,
right.
Or you are my friends if you do that which I tell you to do.
Mm.
Okay?
Yeah.
And so now, switching quickly to the most holy place. So the most holy place, if you go into sanctuary, you find that this is where we find the Shekinah glory, as it is put. You find angels, cherubs covering a certain aura of light. And beneath it, there's an Ark of the Covenant. Inside, we find the law of God. And even in the book of Revelation, we find in chapter 11, verse 9, we are shown a picture of where God's throne is, and beneath there is the Ark of the Covenant, in wherein lies the law of God, showing us that the law of God is as he is. It is holy. It is good. And I think Paul at some point made mention, say, look, is the law therefore bad? It says, God forbid, the law is good. The law is righteous.
Right.
Okay, because it shows us how we ought to live even before a holy God. And the beauty about the most holy place is that in as much as no sinner can, or no man really can approach God and live, we have Christ who has ascended into the most holy place. He became man, and he has ascended as man, God. Okay? And that is why even when you see prophetic imagery, Christ is often shown as the Son of Man, even in heavenly places.
Right, right.
So he has gone there as one of us, okay, in the very presence of God and interceding for us. So the most holy experience shows what God is. Christ is not idling. He's not seated doing nothing. He's literally interceding for mankind. And now the beauty is that he is not trying to convince God that we should be forgiven. No, no, no. Because we're told in Scripture that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself.
Right.
Okay?
Mm.
I know sometimes it seems a bit vague. Say, look, there's an intercessor. So it means there's a God who's been offended and is angry. And so there's this other God who's less offended, less angry.
Right.
So maybe he understands both worlds. And so he bridges the gap. No, no, no. But really, God, we could not reach God.
Mm.
So God came down to our level.
Right.
So that he can now bring us up to his level.
Right.
I don't know if that imagery makes sense.
I hear you.
He came down to our level. We couldn't get up to his, so he comes down to our level, then take us to his level to make us as he is. That's why Christ would often be quoted saying, be perfect even as your heavenly Father is perfect. So he came that he may take us to the level of God, okay?
Right.
To make us perfect even as he is. Remember that from Genesis we're told, and God made man, and then first four says, and everything God had made was perfect. You cannot improve on what is perfect.
Mm.
God had made us as we were to be, and that is what Christ wants to restore in us. And we find that image, that picture in the most holy place. And if you are found in the most holy place, then you too shall be made holy by Christ. Okay?
Yeah.
And really, that's the beauty about the most holy place. I've tried to juice it up and see. I don't know how we're doing with time at this point.
We have about 3 minutes remaining. You can continue. You still have 3 minutes. Go ahead.
Oh, okay, all right. Okay. So therefore, then the question should be asked, what should you and I be doing now? Mm-hmm. Remember, in the imagery in the Old Testament, when the high priest would enter the most holy place once in a year,
right?
Okay, to cleanse the sanctuary. So what would happen is that even as he goes in there, the rest of the people would pray, would fast, would afflict themselves. Now, afflict themselves really is to say, look, you want to deny, you or rather not deny, but accept that you're a sinner and accept that you have no solution to the sin problem and accept that the only solution to your sin problem is Christ.
Right.
And therefore, you were to live according to what as Christ dictated. Okay, because those who are drawn by Christ are automatically what are changed by him. I would like to give this example even as I close. Look, Peter was found so much with Christ, so much so that even at the point that he was denying Christ, he looked just like him.
Mm.
You know, this little girl comes and says, look, your demeanor betrays you, your dressing betrays you, your accent betrays you. You must be one of his disciples. And Peter says, no, I don't know him.
Mm.
Another person comes and says, look, even just now, this was on a light note, even just the way you're sitting, even just the way you're chewing, if you're chewing, you give some semblance to that man. Until the third person comes, look, what happens when Christ comes in us? We cannot help it but be as he is.
Mm.
Okay? And that is what the Most Holy Experience does. It makes us like what Christ is.
Yeah.
Okay. And that is why it will not be difficult for people to actually associate us with what? With Christ. You will say, look, these people are different. Okay. Their mannerisms, their dress, their speech, their enterprise, the way they deal one with another, and even those who are not of their own, they deal with them in a manner that is unlike what the rest of the people deal with them. Okay, so the Most Holy Experience actually trickles down to us so much so that even our living will be loving and lovable.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that makes sense.
I hear you.
We shall be loving and lovable. All right, we shall emit an aura of light, a sweet savor to people that are around us. It's not supposed to be so theoretical that at the end of the day you remain with arguments in your head. No, no, no. It's supposed to be life changing. And that is why at some point people ask you all sorts of things, but say, look, I may not understand all things, but this one thing I know. I was lost, but now I'm what?
Yeah,
I'm found. Like the blind man who was healed, who was blind from birth. Christ, they asked him, look, do you believe this is also the Messiah and everything? Say, look, one thing I know, I was blind, but now I can see.
Yeah.
And that is the experience that we're supposed to have. Like it should be our first inherent character to be as Christ, because Christ has changed us from what we were to what he is.
Mm.
And that is the only way that we shall see heaven, because when Christ comes again, we are only expecting the reward. Judgment is now, and therefore judgment is not, we are not to live carelessly.
Right.
And we get really that picture from the sanctuary.
I hear you. Please, before you leave, pray for us as we close.
All right, thank you very much. We shall pray. Our dear kind and heavenly Father, Lord, it is our desire that when you come, we shall be able to say, this is our God, we have waited for him, because we know the time we're living, and we know that you shall come soon and very soon. Our heavenly Father, Lord, there may be others who do not know about you. There may be others who do not even understand this thing about the sanctuary. But in your own way, you who loves each and every one of us so equally and so dearly, may you speak to them in utterances that they may be able to understand.
Right.
That when all things are said and done, they might find salvation in you.
Yes.
For in you only can we find salvation. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much, Doctor. Appreciate your time and your insights. Tomorrow I'm hoping you'll be able to make it so that we can have a bit of questions entertained. You'll be dealing only with one subject tomorrow, which is the Thursday one. And so we'll try and see if we can make time. Please make time for us to ask some questions about the other days we couldn't ask questions. Is that okay, sir?
All right, sure, not a problem.
Lovely, lovely. Dr. Oscar Muloa, our teacher for this week, preparing for the lesson study for this coming Sabbath. He's our teacher. And if you have any questions, bring them through. We'll ask them tomorrow.